We're going to be looking through some of the gospel stories and how people encounter Jesus, what he does for them, their lives are changed after they encounter him. And so, you know, people reach out, Jesus reach out to people in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of situations. So I'm going to be looking at some of the stories in the next little while through our messages. So let's go to the next one. But recently, I was walking through the supermarket. Background music comes on. I like background music in the supermarket because I'm kind of the target demographic. You know, people in my demographic often have kids. We often fill the trolley with, like, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. So they love people in my demographic. And so, you know, often it's something like U2, something I grew up with. And this time a song came on I hadn't heard for a while. I grew up with, like, Split Ends, Crowded House, you know, that sort of vibe. So I heard the tune, I recognized it, and I started thinking about the words. This is the words from a song by Crowded House. Where are we? Let's put them up. Walking around the room singing Stormy Weather. Anyone know the song? At 57 Mount Pleasant Street. Now it's the same room, but everything's different. I'll stop there. It's talking about a guy who's in a place and it's stormy weather. He's singing stormy weather. He's like in a kind of a dark mood. And then the next line, now it's the same room, but everything's different. Same location, but something's changed on the inside. He's no longer feeling down. Okay, so he's going through this thing. Same place, different attitude, different circumstance. Maybe it's bright and sunny. Second verse. Well, do I lie like a lounge room lizard? Or sing like a bird released. A bit of tension, a sort of a difference there. Here's a lounge room. Anyone ever been a lounge room lizard? You know, sort of veg out on the couch. You don't want to do anything, probably a bit down. You're just there like a lizard on the couch versus a bird released. What's it look like when a bird's released? It sort of flies around, it's whistling like this. Completely different circumstances of life. And he's really saying, am I going to be like this, the couch potato lizard? Or am I going to be like a bird released? Which attitude am I going to have today? The song is about different attitudes we have and how they impact our lives. Then the chorus, everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. And do it three times if I could. And a comment from Neil Finn about this song. At the bottom, ultimately, the theme of the song is, of course, that you are creating your own weather. You are making your own environment always. That's what that song's about. Everywhere you go, you take the weather with you. Now, that idea, I think, has been explored in perhaps more serious ways. Let's go to the next one. This is a quote by a guy called Viktor Frankl. He was a concentration camp survivor and became a famous psychotherapist. His psychology centers on the search for meaning. And that's the name of the book, Man's Search for Meaning. So he's really saying we bring meaning into whatever situation we come into. Even difficult situations, we can bring meaning into them. He's in the concentration camp. You can bring meaning into that space. He was saying you can choose your attitude in any set of circumstances. Neil Finn, everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. What is in you gets taken with you. They're saying the same thing. One's a psychotherapist, one's a musician, songwriter. The idea, though, is ancient, and I think it's true. Wherever you go, who you are goes with you. Your attitude goes with you. So I'm looking at an encounter with Jesus today. But this one's not a human encounter. It's the encounter with Satan. Jesus encounters Satan. Or maybe we should say that Satan encounters Jesus because he's the one that's going to struggle after this. What happens, I think, illustrates the idea wherever you go, you take the weather with you. You're bringing meaning into the situation. If we don't take the weather with us, we are then subject to whatever the weather is out there. Let's dive in. Okay, so here's a scripture. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 4. You'll probably realize it. I think I've talked about this before, but this is a slightly different angle. So Luke chapter 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. That to me is one of the understatements of the Bible. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." First thing I think we should notice is the devil is opportunistic. When does the devil come to Jesus and talk about bread? When he's hungry, after 40 days of fasting. So when you're hungry, sad, tired, you've lost something, you're frustrated, you're vulnerable. Guess what? That's when the devil, the enemy, will come to you. You're more likely in a situation like that to make a mistake, a bad decision, that sort of thing. So here's Jesus vulnerable, at least physically. Maybe he's spiritually strong, but he's physically vulnerable. He's emotionally vulnerable. He's hungry. He has this need gnawing at him. That's when the devil comes in and tries to take him off track. What does the devil say? "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Now, in that moment, I think bread is pretty appealing. Bread is the thing he would like. He wants some food. He's hungry, he's starving. Bread is good. The devil knows our needs. When you have a need, a vulnerability, he will place before you the thing that you probably want the most. But notice how he comes in. It's not just he comes in with bread. "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Now, I think this is a key to understanding how the devil operates, how temptation works in our lives. The idea of Jesus being the Son of God, that if you are the Son of God, that's the previous story has talked about that. So you go back into the previous chapter and it's talking about a voice from heaven saying, "You are my son." So we'll talk about that in a sec. The last conversation Jesus had, "You are my son." And now, what does the devil do when he tempts him? "If you are God's son." There's something going on here. So let's go back into the previous chapter. This is Luke chapter 3. So previously, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." So the voice comes from him only three times in the Gospels. This is very significant when the voice of God speaks audibly. "You are my son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." Affirmation of identity. Jesus receives an affirmation of identity from the Father, establishing his identity, affirming his identity. What is the significance of this? I think we should explore at this point where we are in the narrative. It's right at the start. So up until this point, how many miracles? None. How many people have been discipled? None. How many demons have been defeated? None. Jesus has not done any ministry. Up at this point, all the ministry follows from this point. He's done nothing up till this point. No great works, no healings, no preaching. Now, normally in our culture, what happens? I think in our culture, we reserve affirmation until after you've done the work. After you've done the work, we say, "Good on you, mate. Good job. Well done." After you get the degree, after you finish school, after you've achieved something, that's when the affirmation comes. "I'm pleased with you." That's how the world works. We go for things so we get affirmation. Work hard, you'll be okay. But here, the affirmation comes before any of that has happened. "You're my son whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." It happens before the work. What does that mean? I think that means identity, sonship or daughtership, isn't something that you look for and earn. It is something that is given as a gift. You cannot attain sonship or daughtership with God. You cannot attain God's love. You cannot attain favor with God by working hard. It comes as a gift. At the start, our life is meant to be a working out, an expression of, "I've been loved, therefore I will go and serve God." You can't secure your identity by doing things, no matter how successful you might be. Look at the successful people. Look at Hollywood. Successful people. Often their lives are a mess. All of this comes to Jesus before he starts his ministry. Affirmation of being a child of God, being loved by God, being pleasing to God, aren't something that comes down the track. They have to be believed from the start. Contrary, I think, to what the world teaches us about where affirmation happens and when we should get approved. God doesn't do things like that. All of these things come to Jesus before his ministry starts. They're a gift from the Father to the Son. Now, I think every human heart is longing for an affirmation of identity. We want to know we're loved. We want to have God say that. We want to have others say that. I think as children, we're meant to get these needs met in our families, by our parents, by the close environment, mum and dad. Meant to speak things like this to us and give us a sense of affirmation of identity. To know that we're loved, to know that we're pleasing, to know that we're okay. Not because we get good grades, not because we're good at athletics or whatever it is, but simply because we are born into this family and this family accepts and appreciates us. In the early 20th century, many children in Western culture that were born without parents or somehow lost their parents were placed in orphanages. The reality was most of those children, or many of those children, actually passed away in those orphanages. There's a guy, Dr. Luther Emmett Holt Sr., professor of pediatrics. He wrote this very influential pamphlet called The Care and Feeding of Children. This is what he said in that. He recommended, don't give children cradles, don't pick up the baby when it cries, feed it by the clock, and don't spoil it by handling it. That was the advice in this pamphlet. So the orphanages became sterile places, focused on keeping the children properly fed without any nurture or compassion, because these were unscientific, you see. And the children perished in incredible numbers. Another doctor saw all this. This is a guy called Dr. Talbot. He's disturbed by the death rate of these children in the orphanages. He goes to a place in Dusseldorf in Germany, and the director of the institution gives him a tour of the rooms. They were clean and orderly, but what got his attention was this old lady at the side who didn't seem to fit. And she had a baby on her hip. And he goes, "Who's that?" And they said, "This is old Anna. When we have given a child all possible medical care and they do not get better, we turn to old Anna. She never fails." She essentially was nurturing the children, picking them up, cuddling them. It was discovered if a child is to thrive, a child needs to be held, walked around in someone's arms, caressed, hugged, spoken positively to. That contact is essential. It's not just food. It is relationship. It is connection. It is security they get from that. That's what helps the children survive and thrive. So we see in Jesus, in his life, the Father affirms his identity before he's actually done any ministry. Confirmation of love, approval comes before things are done. And I think that's like a parable. This is how things should be. We have these needs. Our identity is based on is not self-established. The idea of self-made man, self-made woman, it's a myth. You're part of a community. People spoke into your life to get you where you were. Human identity is established through the faces, through the words of others. We're not self-made. We're not just physical. We're spiritual, emotional, and we need affirmation and a sense of identity if we're going to thrive. Jesus is fully human. He gets baptized. He doesn't need to be baptized. It's not like he's sinful. He doesn't need his sins washed away. He's identifying with us. And I think saying, I have the same needs that you have. I am a human being like you. He's affirmed by the Father. He's loved by the Father. He's pleasing to the Father. That comes from heaven. We need that just like he does. He needs that just like us. All of this before he's done anything. I think we need to know this. We need to know that that's how it works in the kingdom, in God's order of things. So let's talk back to the encounter, back to Luke chapter 4. After hearing, "You are my son," the story goes on, and the next event is the temptation. So the devil comes after this event, after he's hungry, after he's been fasting. What does the devil say? "If you are God's son, turn these stones into bread." And so you notice that "if" is the most significant thing. The devil doesn't have to say something nasty to Jesus. He just has to pull down his confidence in his identity. That's all the enemy has to do. Pull down confidence in identity by the word "if." God has already said, "Your identity is secure." The devil says, "If that's the case," the devil casts doubt, causes uncertainty. Once we're uncertain of identity, it's like losing an anchor. It's suddenly the sea shifts and we've lost our grounding. We're tossed by the waves. Nothing is certain. And so once we lose our anchor, once our identity is disrupted, we look around for someone to affirm something about identity for us. We look for a sense of identity, a sense of security, anywhere we can get it. We look for it in other people. We look for it in having things. We look for it in the pleasures of life, our relationships, the things of the world. These things are not bad things. God made them so we can enjoy them. They're designed for us to enjoy. But if we've lost or our identity is insecure, we start to look for our identity in those things. We feel unaffirmed. If we feel rejected, guess what? We're vulnerable. And so we go out there looking for someone to give us an affirmation of who we are, because we've lost that. We've lost a sense of purpose. And then we're open to this deception and the lies of the enemy. When a lion is another image of the devil in the Bible, a roaring lion, sees a herd of prey, who does the lion go for? Not the strong. The lion always looks for, where's the point of weakness? Where's the one who's tired? Where's the one who's young? Where's the one who's old? That's where we'll attack. The devil comes to Jesus when he's hungry, after fasting. Oftentimes in our vulnerabilities, we draw back. Some people draw back from church or fellowship. You know, that's the time we need to lean in. That's the time we need people to encourage us. People who remind us of our security in God. People who speak to us about the things that are positive. So the devil starts the temptation with "if," raises doubt, looking for vulnerability. Is this person insecure in their identity? Do they doubt God's love? Are they unsure about whether or not they're pleasing to God? Then that "if" is a powerful "if," because it disrupts the sense of identity. We hear the "if" and we start to think, oh, maybe I'm not okay. Maybe there's something essentially wrong with me. Maybe God doesn't accept me. Maybe I've done too many bad things. Maybe I've done too many wrong things. And so my identity as insecurity in God gets disrupted when the "if" comes in. Maybe I need bread. Maybe I need something in this world. Maybe that will establish my sense of identity and security. And as soon as we enter the "if" space, we start to prove our existence. We start to try, no, I am okay. And I look for affirmations of my identity. And a downhill spiral begins. We've lost the sense of security in God and we start looking for it in all these places. But if you look at this, this strategy has been used before, right? Go back in the Bible, we see the same strategy. Back in Genesis, let's look at what happens in Genesis chapter 3. Next one, the same old trick. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, notice the question, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So here they are in the garden. Everything's perfect. They couldn't want for anything. They're secure. God is present. They have everything they need. And the devil comes in. What does he do? What's his strategy? He asks a question. Did God really say that? introduces doubt about God and about God's word. Did God really say? So when I hear the question, did God really say? It unseats me from my confidence in what God has said. Am I secure in God? Maybe it makes me think, I'm not really sure. Maybe, I heard that in a sermon once, or someone from Sunday school said this, and I'm not really 100% sure what it was. And if we lose the solid grounding, what was it that God said? What is it about human life that God told us about? I've lost that sense of security. Did God really say? And so the game is on. The question of identity, the question of where we're at with God, and we then start searching other places. Next comes, you will not die. God said, you will die if you eat this tree. And the devil first of all makes them doubt that, and secondly then gives an outright lie. You will not die. And of course they do. The lie comes after the foundation has been questioned. God doesn't want the best for you. He's holding back your fulfillment. Have your eyes opened. You won't die. It'll be good for you. You've lost. Once you start to question, then the lie comes in and says, it's not really true anyway. And then you're off on this journey, on this game, trying to fix it yourself. Here's the summary. The encounter. Next one. God says, you are my son whom I love. Let's go back one. You are my son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. That's the word of God to Jesus. And I think to us, identity and affirmation is established. This is the gospel. This is God's heart for humanity, for each of us. And because he loves us, we're then empowered to love others. We serve him out of gratitude, not in order to gain favor. Our identity comes as a gift, not as a reward. The devil says, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. So the devil wants to get him to question the sense of identity. Are you really God's son? Does God really love you? Is all that stuff said there, is that really true? And as soon as uncertainty about identity is introduced, we're knocked off track, we lose that anchor, and then we start to try and establish it elsewhere. Or we try to prove it somehow. We start the search. This uncertainty about identity impacts people. The devil raises questions about identity. Are you really okay? Are you really acceptable to God? Is he really pleased with you as his child? What about those things that you did? What about those thoughts and feelings you have? Are you a real man? Are you a real woman? You're not like other people. You're different. Let me show you what identity means. And so we go down the track of looking for affirmation from somewhere other than from God. Take this fruit, eat it. It'll be good for you. You'll enjoy life. The downhill spiral of seeking identity apart from God starts. The anchor has been taken up, and we look for somewhere to find security. And I think lots of people struggle, wrestle, all of us to some extent wrestle in that space. But when the question comes, the if, what does Jesus do? He could easily say, what do you mean if? And go out and prove it. I am secure. But if he did that, what would be happening? Essentially, he's doing what the devil wants. He's not doing what God wants. God has already got a plan for his life. It's unfolding. But when he believes the if, and I'll show you that I'm the Son of God, all of a sudden he goes there trying to prove it, and he's essentially off track with God and on track with the devil. If he buys into the if, he will go down this sidetrack. He will have lost his anchor, taken on actually answering the devil's question rather than seeking what God has said. We're vulnerable on the sidetrack. We're open to suggestions about who we are from anyone, because I'm just trying to establish something because I've lost that sense from God. In psychology and counseling, there's this idea of differentiation. There's a very strong idea in psychology. The idea is I'm different than you and I'm distinct from you. I can connect with you, but I'm responsible for my own self and my own feelings. We can relate to others. It's not that we're isolated. We can still be connected, but we're distinct and differentiated. I'm responsible for my attitude, my thoughts and my feelings. Essentially, I take the weather with me. I'm responsible for the weather that I take with me. You are my son, you are my daughter, with whom I'm well pleased. Identity made in God's image is secure. That doesn't make us perfect. We've all got a past. We've all sinned. God invites us to confess, to trust him for forgiveness, to look to Jesus as the answer, as the sacrifice for all this. We're cleansed, we're forgiven, we're free. But if we listen to the if we can't accept the affirmation of God for us, even if we are forgiven as sinners, then we're off trying to establish identity somewhere else. We look to the world for approval, for acceptance. We look for love in all the wrong places. We look for security in things rather than in God. And this downward spiral is on again. Now, let's go to the next one. This is a famous photo taken in Perth in a lightning storm. And a bit like this, isn't it? Life is a bit like that. You walk into storms, there's things going on. Sometimes there are storms, there are dangers, temptations and struggles. We all face this. This is what life is like for all of us, I think. In the encounter with the devil, Jesus goes into the storm, but he takes the weather with him. He takes the security he has got in God. He takes that into the storm with him. He doesn't allow the temptation to undermine his sense of security. He's heard the affirming voice of the Father. He takes that with him into the storm, into the encounter with the enemy. When the enemy tries to disrupt that, putting an if in front, Jesus is not shaken. He's got this sense, I'm okay. I've got the Father's affirmation. He doesn't have to earn acceptance. He doesn't have to get it from the enemy or prove it to anyone else. He's got it. It's solid. It's within. He's already secure. He holds on to his God-given identity even when the enemy is having a go at him. So he's not going to make stones into bread. He's not going to accept the suggestion that he needs to do that. He's just going to get on and do God's plan for his life. And I think it's the same for us. I think we will face situations. We'll go into storms. We'll face difficulties. The word if will come up. The doubt will come up about who you are in Christ. Has God actually forgiven you? Are you secure in God? That will come up. The doubt will come up. If you're really a Christian, you wouldn't have such thoughts. That's the sort of thing that happens. The if comes, Jesus doesn't feel the need to prove himself because he's got a security. He doesn't need to prove himself to the devil or to anyone else because there is security within from God. And I think it's the same for us. Finding security in God enables us to go into difficult situations without losing that sense of confidence in God, without losing peace, without losing our identity. We don't have to find identity there. It comes from God as an internal security from him. I don't have to be affected by the weather. I take the weather with me. No matter how big my problems or the issues we face out there, the idea is establishing this sense of identity from God. There may be pain and distress we face. There may be difficult circumstances. But we can be secure in God's love. Established in this identity, loved and accepted by him, through faith, adopted into God's family through Christ. Because of our adoption, the same words apply to us as apply to Jesus. You are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. In Christ, that is true of us. We don't have to find our identity out there, and we don't have to be shaken by the difficult things that happen. Secure in God. Let's pray. Lord, I know that there are many, many, many challenges we face. For some of us, this sense of identity, of affirmation, simply didn't exist in our families. It wasn't given to us. And so when we hear that from you, when we hear the acceptance that you give us, despite our past and our sin, in Jesus, it's hard to believe, it's hard to hold on to. Lord, I pray, help us be established in that sense of identity, that we are the children of God, loved by Him, pleasing to Him, not because of what we've done, but because of simply your love for us. Lord, help us establish that in us, that we would not let that go. Let your word come to us afresh. You are the good God. You are a God of love and of grace, despite our backgrounds, our past. Through Christ, we are adopted into your family. Thank you, Lord. Help us in situations that are challenging. Help us take the weather with us. Help us go into circumstances, Lord, holding on to who we are, knowing we have your favor, being established, Lord, in your love, that we might take the weather with us and bring that weather to others as well. Guide us, bless us, affirm us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Now, I want to encourage you to have a coffee or whatever. If you don't like coffee, have something else. Catch up with someone. Maybe encourage them in their affirmation with God. You can see it in them. Sometimes it's hard for people to see in themselves. We're going to play a song. We're going to play that song. We take the weather with us. And let's take the weather that's in us from our security in Christ. Let's bring that to others. Bless you. Thanks for sharing with us today. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and take the weather with you.